You are listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.
We're dealing with April 1921.
Yes.
And the on the 19th of April 1921, in Loughlin, County Roscommon, two IRA men were killed. Now, there are quite a number of ballads about the woodlands of Loughlin.
Yes.
And believe it or not, it has a direct Limerick connection.
Oh, how so?
Two people were killed there. They were tracked down by the Black and Tans and they were shot dead.
Yes.
You know. One of them was a Stephen McDermott. Surprise, surprise. He's from County Roscommon. Okay?
Yes.
But the other guy was a young man named Sean Bergen. Now, to most of the world, he's a Tipperary man working in South Roscommon. I think his father had a business in Nina. And they were, he was training to be in the business, saying, because dealing with wood at sawmills, right?
Right.
But Sean Bergen is not from Nina. He was actually born in Capamore.
Aha, he's a Limerick man.
No, he's a Limerick man. He's from Bilbo. And his family moved to Nina. Now, his father's a Kilkenny man.
Yes.
That explains the Bergen, right? The family moved to Nina when he was about 6 or 7 years of age, right?
Yes.
And presto, eventually he became involved in the IRA. He was involved in the business first, and then he transferred to Roscommon to learn the business. I think there was a sawmill up there that he was working for. And he was in charge of the flying column in South Roscommon.
Yes.
And he had pneumonia. Right, contacted pneumonia, and he was in this house recuperating, and it was raided by the British military and Black and Tans, and he escaped, or he attempted to escape, and he was tracked down and shot dead, as was, as I say, Stephen McDermott. That happened, as I say, on the 19th of
April, yeah.
1921. Now, moving on to 21st of April 1921, in near Ballinamore in County Leitrim. Now we referred to the Sean Connolly's column in South Leitrim that were trapped by the British sometime previously, and six men killed.
Yes.
Right. Now, in April 1921. There was a John Harrison. He was a Methodist farmer from Drumriley near Ballinamore. He was killed. Now, the reason he was killed, apparently, he was executed, was that he didn't... obviously, he didn't support the IRA, but
sure.
He was blamed in some quarters for passing on information that led to the column being trapped and killed, and some of the members killed, six of them killed.
Oh, so this is referring back to the incident that we talked about before. Is there any suggestion that this is true, that he actually did inform, or was he another kind of convenient scapegoat?
Well, again, as I say, Shirley, you know,
it's hard to know.
It's very difficult to know.
Yeah.
Very little hard and fast evidence. Right.
Because, now, I mean, eliminating him might be useful for some people.
Well, maybe, you know, there are so many little things flying through this. Very often you don't know the full story.
Mm. Well, I suppose it'd be, unless you're local, unless you know the ins and outs of the locality, you wouldn't know that.
That is true. Now, that was on the 21st of April, right?
Yes.
The same day, a man was executed near Newmarket and Fergus, John O'Reilly. Now, O'Reilly was an ex-British soldier.
Mm-hmm.
He was a postman. And as I say, the story I'd heard was that he had met a man in Newmarket or Ennis, in Ennis.
Yes.
At Clare and Ennis, right? And they got talking. Now, this man had been a friend of Riley's previously. And that the Riley asked him about the two sons, you know?
Yes.
And the man said, he says they're off with the flying column most of the time now, he says. But they'll be back next week, he said, for the thrashing.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
They've come home for the thrashing.
Yes.
Right? And sure enough, there was the Loch Nairns, Gort, near Gort, right?
Yes.
They met Nennis. So anyhow, sure enough, the two Loch Nairns came home. And the auxiliaries raided and captured the two. Now, not only did they capture them, they dragged them behind the lorry.
A terrible story that is.
They got a desperate death.
They mutilated the bodies after, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, terrible,
they burned,
terrible.
Burned bodies after. Now,
there's a famous photograph, isn't there, of people with
a
harrowing photo, but an important one, you know, to highlight this is what has happened.
Well, yeah, what you're seeing in Ukraine today.
Yeah, but I say, it's a harrowing photo, but an essential one.
Yeah, now, as I say, anyhow, from that moment on, the man that gave the information that led to the, of the capture of the Loch Nairns was in deep trouble.
Of course.
And apparently, the finger pointed to Riley.
Right.
Okay, now, as I say, you cannot be absolute 100% certain, but I think it looks as if he did, because Loch Nairn's father, you know, would have had an idea who he was speaking with. So,
that's it. But I suppose just kind of a timely reminder as well, isn't it, that loose lips sink ships?
What they said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Riley had been in the British Army, and when he came home, he got a job as a postman. And as I say, he was at a fair in Ennis, and he met Loch Nairn's father.
But postmen would always have the finger pointed at them anyway, because they'd be out in the community talking to everybody.
Well, they have a chance to do things that others don't.
Exactly.
Moving on, anyhow, I said that was the, as I say, that was John O'Reilly. Now, as I say, O'Reilly was he was captured by the IRA. And who I think gave his last rites or his last confession. I think it was Father Kennedy that was in St. Flannan's, who
right.
would have been, you know, a fairly strong Sinn Féin supporter. Now, it would have to be said that quite a number of priests in Clare Diocese were Sinn Féin supporters.
Yeah.
Safe in the knowledge that their bishop, Fogarty, was also a strongly pro Sinn Féin. Now, Fogarty would be blackened out by people who went anti-treaty, because he was staunchly pro-treaty. But at a point in time, he certainly was anti-British during the War of Independence.
Of course, yeah.
And as I said, he's... family, or his family, his curates particularly, they would have taken a leaf out of his book.
Yes.
And there would be quite a number of it. Like the same thing obtained in Limerick. Like in 1916, when General Maxwell took issue with the Archbishop of Dublin at the time, Archbishop Walsh, and he issued a list of priests that had been supporting Sinn Féin and the Rising.
Yes.
He got on to Walsh to, you know, to take sanctions against these priests. And when Walsh looked at the list and saw there was a number of priests in County Limerick, and there was no love lost apparently between Walsh and our man.
Yes.
And he pointed Maxwell in the direction of O'Dwyer, knowing that you were dealing on both sides with bullheaded men.
Yes.
And that the could be interesting. So as it turned out, Maxwell sent a stinging letter to O'Dwyer.
Yes.
And if he did, O'Dwyer buried him. O'Dwyer knew that Maxwell had taken part in the Jameson raid in South Africa in the 1890s.
Yes.
Right? And they were captured, those British soldiers were captured. And once they could have been executed or should have been executed, they were reprieved.
Yes.
And O'Dwyer knew that Maxwell was hunting those soldiers, so he was able to point things back at him.
There you go. Don't start anything that you can't finish.
Well, there will be a certain amount in that, right? Anyhow, on the 23rd of April in Tipperary Town, a man called Timothy Cranley was murdered or executed. Now, my father was a young fella, and he told me about, they passed the body on the way home from town, Tipperary. Now, he was about seven years of age at the
yes.
time. And the body, Cranley had been, I'm not so sure that he was a spy. He may or he may not have been. Now, it was going back to the execution of, can't think of man, Sean Allen, right?
Right.
Now, Sean Allen lived in Michael Street in Tipperary, and he was captured by the British and taken to Cork, and he was eventually court-martialed. He was actually the first man, or the second man, sorry, the second man executed in Munster, right? And Allen's family were convinced, rightly or wrongly, that Timothy Cranley had given information.
Information, yes.
You know, the upshot was that Cranley was intercepted. Now, he was a butcher, and I think they had a public house as well. They were fairly well off. Right? Now, I think they had a public house, and the British soldiers used drink there, which straight away would not have made them
wouldn't have made them popular in the wider community.
Yes, with the IRA. So as I said, that was Timothy Cranley in April 1921. Moving on a bit, so that the next man I come to would be a guy called Maurice Moore and Patrick O'Sullivan. Now, there was a number of fellas executed in Cork jail, right, on the 28th of April 1921, right? Two of them, Patrick O'Sullivan from Cove and Maurice Moore from Cove, had been among the men captured after Clonbult.
Right.
Now, like, there was a number of fellas captured at Clonbult, but it would appear that only the two fellas from Cove were executed.
Oh, why is that?
It's very hard to put a finger on. Now, one, I think O'Leary was his name. He was exonerated because two of his brothers had been killed in the First World War with the British.
Right.
And Strickland had stepped in and had his sentence commuted. Now, I don't know, but I think there was a certain amount of bad blood or bad feeling between the volunteers in Middleton and Cove. Now, can't be certain about this, but certainly in the Civil War, the Middleton Company, I believe, went almost to a man. I won't say totally to a man, but almost to a man went pre-state. That's very, very unusual, especially in Cork.
Especially in Cork,
It might happen in East Limerick, but not in Cork.
Yeah, that's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some reason that quite a number of fellows from Middleton. Now, they said they went to the total company, but I would wonder about that at times. Now, what did happen, right, was that four fellows from Middleton were shot out of hand during the Civil War near Kilmallock.
Yes.
And the four of them were Free State soldiers from Middleton. So it sounds to me like no one's ever going to stand up and say who shot them.
Yes.
Right? But it sounds to me like they ran into fellows who knew them.
Well, that would seem the case, wouldn't it? That's what it sounds like.
No, as I said, the same day in Cork, there was two other men, Thomas Mulcahy and Patrick Jornane. Now, both of them were farmers' sons from around Burnford, the Burnford area in Mid Cork. Mm-hmm. Burnford is near Mallow. I think it's in the mountain country to the west of Mallow. Now, could be corrected on that. I'm sure some of our Cork brothers would correct us.
Yes.
But these two boys, they were captured in a roundup I think it was about February 1921. Now, the reason they were captured was it was a spy with the British soldiers. An IRA, supposed to be an IRA volunteer, was actually a British spy.
Yes.
And he led the British forces to surround the IRA at Burnford and Ned. Now, I think Sean Mylan, I think he was captured around the same time, but he wasn't executed, surprising enough, because even though he was the head bookcat and he was...
But you'd imagine that they would be quite happy to dispatch him.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure, but he may have been wounded. Now, what the British would do, right, he said, if you're wounded, right, they would heal your wounds first. Then they court-martial you and execute you.
Yes.
Now, this happened. This happened with one of the fellows who was captured at Clonmult.
Right.
Patrick Higgins. Right? Now, Higgins was wounded.
Yes.
Fairly seriously wounded. So it took a while for him to recuperate. When he was recovered,
yes.
Right, it was court-martialed. And he was going to be sentenced to death. Fortunately for Higgins, the truce intervened.
Ah, see, their plan didn't work out after all.
Yeah, sometimes things take a strange course. Anyhow, moving on. The next man we come across, right, would have a kind of an interest in your side of the country.
Oh.
A guy called Thomas Walsh, right?
Yes.
Now, he worked in an egg store in Tipperary Town. But he was from Fines.
Wow.
No, he was in the IRA, right?
Yes.
And he was, he was reputed to be one of the fellows that took part in the execution of Timothy Cranley.
Oh, so this is all kind of, it's all kind of linked, this is...
Everything, listen, there are very few things that happen totally in isolation.
Yes.
There's always a kind of a connection somewhere.
It's a spider web.
Walsh was reputed to have been involved in the execution of Timothy Cranley.
Yes.
And he was shot dead in Tipperary. On the 30th of April, 1921. At the time, he had been living in Davis Street in Tipperary. Now, he was later buried in Dunmylan near Shanagolden.
Right.
Near your side of the country, I think.
Yeah, out our way. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, as I say, that would be, sometimes you think of the world of independence, you don't think of people from Limerick who were killed elsewhere.
That's it, you see, yeah. As is ever
Thomas
and always, people moved for work or when they got married or
whatever,
for various different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Thomas Walsh was one of those that, as I say, was working to Bury Town in an egg store. Was in the IRA, there was no question about that. And whether he was involved in the execution of Timothy Cranley, he probably was. But either way, he paid the supreme price, as he only outlived Cranley by a couple of days.
By a couple of days,
Now, before we finish tonight, or today, was it? I'll deal with Captain Geoffrey Compton Smith.
Yes.
Right? Now, he was in the Railway Fusiliers, right? And he was serving in Cork as an intelligence officer, right?
Right.
Now, he was based at Butterbend, as far as I know. And he went from Butterbend to Cork by train. And now, there's various stories where he was having an affair with a lady and he was using that as a cover for intelligence gathering. Either way, he was picked up by the IRA. And as I said to you, the two men, there was four men executed in Cork jail.
Yes.
Right? Now, a few days previously, Compton Smith was held as a hostage, right, against the execution of the IRA men.
Right.
You know, but the British, one thing you don't do with the British is you don't, their British military can be tough and dare I say it, stubborn.
So you don't want to call their bluff.
Yeah, don't put the gun publicly to their head.
Yes.
Because, you know, they had no qualm about executing the IRA. So what if one of their own gets pumped off and instead they're going to make the point?
Yes.
You know,
I mean, at the end of the day, it's four for one, isn't it?
Yes. And Compton Smith, now, apparently he was a very brave man.
Yes.
Now, there is a bit of sadness about it. He was interned later. Now, his wife didn't want his race brought back to England. Now, it would appear that Compton Smith was having an affair and his wife knew about it. Right?
Well, that's sad, isn't it?
It is very sad, really, and that she, on account of that, she did not want his remains returned to England. So he was buried in Fort Carlisle, in Cork Harbour. It's near Cork Harbour, I think.
Yes.
And it was transferred to England later.
Yes.
I think his father prevailed on the authorities to have it brought back to England.
Sure.
But it does show you the tragedy and...
And again, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of these very difficult days, people were still living their ordinary lives and there were still relationships going on and all of the ensuing affairs and bitterness.
And affairs.
Yeah,
and the consequences of affairs. Now, I say it is very sad, but at the same time, you know, it was... now, it would appear that he died bravely.
Yes.
No, he was executed by the IRA. Now, I think Frank Busteed. Busteed is a fairly notorious character in that area of Cork. I think Busteed was certainly involved in his execution. But it is to say, he died bravely. And his father, no, not his wife, remarried, you see.
Yes.
No, I think she had hankerings or she had insight that he was having an affair.
Now, it
seems that he met this lady in Cork and that he was having an affair with her. Now, the suspicion would be that the affair was the cover for his real activity.
Yes, but nevertheless, it was an affair anyway.
It was an affair, and as I say, the whole thing is very sad. You know?
Very sad. And just, I suppose, ordinary lives in extraordinary times, isn't it?
Mm. No, I don't think he had a family. That's the only, dare I say it, whilst you'd say it's a positive thing he had a family, if he had a family, that's...
Not in that context, yeah. No,
not in that context. Anyhow, that's it for today.
Thank you.
You have been listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.